Welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Okay, this is Turn the Page podcast at Syosset Public Library with Stacy
and Evelyn.
And with our guest speaker, you could go, Lisa.
Oh, great is that? Lisa Scottolini!
Yay.
This is so great, you guys. Thanks for. Oh, now there you go. There's a girl there from Moonheart. I say yay all the time. I love it.
It's so much fun to say.
Thanks for having me, ladies.
No, thank you. We couldn't be more excited to have such a great author with us. Somebody I've read so
well,
many
you are
of
too
her
kind.
Books.
I do. Let me take a second to say thank you to libraries because you are so important to community and to democracy and to this country. And to me personally, I would not have my lifelong love of books, but for libraries. And like, we can talk about that more if you want to, but I just want to say at the outside how grateful I am to you and thank you for all you do.
Thank you.
Well, yeah, thank
Without
you.
Great authors like you, we wouldn't have great libraries. So
yeah, you help keep us in business.
Thank you. So Lisa's new book, we
it's
want to talk about
Tuesday.
That Stacy and I both read and loved. Called
Oh, thank you. Yay!
I'm really happy because I wrote a review on Goodreads, and I wrote a review because I just like recently joined like the Edelweiss Advanced Reader Pre-Pub.
Right.
So I copied my review a little bit. So I have to say thank you to your people for sending us this. But I had actually never read a full book of yours, like sitting down one sitting, because I've read your nonfiction with your daughter a lot on my own. And then we also read to a nursing home and they love your stories.
Right. We both bring them.
Aww.
We bring your books all the time and read them
to
them.
The nonfiction ones. And so I was like, oh my God, this is the first time I've actually sat and read one of her books and I loved it. I couldn't put it down. I was like, I need to now read all of them.
Oh, you're too nice. Thank you so much for that. Listen, I know you guys are busy, so I really, really appreciate it.
Yep.
Thank you very much for that.
And I'm just looking at it now because I read it online, so I didn't actually see the book. I love the cover, too. It's so
neighborhood.
It's really it's a great-looking cover.
Thank you. I really did love it, too. I mean, I just think, look, these things are so hard. You know, I try to be an expert on what's in between the pages. Like, what I do the sentence. You know, Philip Roth said, someone said to him, why did you become an author? And he said, because I love sentences.
Okay.
And so I'm good at this. I try at the sentences. And the story, but all of these things like cover, they're hard. So I give these people a lot of credit when they come up with a great one, and they sure did.
Yeah, it shows the neighborhood, and it's got that eeriness to it.
I
and
like the coloring.
The thrill and the twists and the turns. It's just
like
perfect.
Something happened here.
Right, exactly. The coloring.
And the neighbor, and then the coloring. And the neighborhood, but see, the thing is, too, the neighborhood matters in this book because I was like, you know, you're always trying to write a novel. You have to think about setting. I think about setting a lot with my books. So they're teenagers developing in a development, you know, and they make this terrible mistake.
Right.
And then they have to live with it for the rest of their lives. And Allie's trying to sort out, you know, live with her guilt. And I really wanted to explore, you know, what is family like in development? You want it to be a real, realistic thing, you know. How is it different if the family across the street from you lives in a mirror image of your house? You know, or this one is the fancy end of the development, one is the not so fancy end of the development. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like exploring all that. You know, I just, you know, to make a novel that really is emotionally true, you have to sort of milk everything. That's how I always think of it. And that's what I'm trying to do.
We certainly did it here. We love all the twists and turns. Also.
Yeah, like some of them I didn't see coming. And then just every time you got a new character perspective, like they all could be relatable in some way. Whether it's
of you to say.
But it's true, because like with Julian Brown, like, okay, his parents are divorced. A lot of people have divorced parents. Or you have, you know, someone in the family dealing with mental health, like Allie's mom dealing with the grief. It's so interesting how they all have something about them. Like, when I first was reading it, I was like, oh my God, I hate Sasha. I hate her so much. And then you learn more about her whole life. And I was like, oh, now I kind of feel bad for you. Like you have very high expectations put on you. I get it. And I'm just like, you find something no matter like either big or small to connect. And I think that's awesome that you could do that in a book with all these different characters.
You just say that. Oh, thank you. You know, you really, I mean, the truth is you really have to write something emotionally true. So if you look at those families, like, for example, I can tell you where it comes from in my life. You know, like my parents were divorced. Unfortunately, I'm divorced twice. So my daughter, for example, you know that part where Julianne says, you know, my life is divided into my mother's weekends and my father's weekends. Yeah. And where are my weekends? You know, like my daughter lived that and I lived that. So I kind of wanted to explore that. In my own life, you know, my brother is gay. He came out and we all love him. We're all happy for him, but it was weird in the beginning. And I wanted to write about that too. Mm-hmm. So you have to sort of, and I know families who have children who are seriously ill or disabled. And I know how that can change a family, particularly if you're the one who's, you know, the little sister who's a little bit overlooked, but who loves her, right? Like, so I really want, look, you're always trying to make something really, really realistic. And to do that, as you guys know, it has to be emotionally true and resonant. Even the humorous stories, like you mentioned, I mean, those are true.
Your life is great. I love reading those books. I think they're just fabulous. Well,
I love all the titles.
Well, you said Francesca does titles, those, are fun. Right?
Oh, really?
My daughter does all the titles. I am very bad at titles. She thinks of all those funny titles. But, you know, because mothers and daughters are... we're tight or we fight. And I wanted to, I just think that's important to have in the ether. You know, you want to have real people, and whether it's emotionally true or literally true. And it also can't be sanitized. Like you have to, you know, I always think of this line that I wrote one of the books where it's like, you know, I write about my first gray chin hair and realizing I'm turning into an Amish man. Like when I wrote that, my daughter said, Mom, please don't write that. That's so gross. And I was like, honey, if I don't say it really true, she always says, if it doesn't make us cringe, it won't make someone laugh.
Right.
Well, that, right?
Yeah.
And that's really true in the novels as well. If it doesn't make me cringe to tell that, like I have to really cop the stuff.
Well,
like
I definitely,
being a wife who's a...
I definitely cringed over the doctor.
Oh,
I cringed.
I cringed.
Right,
but
that's cringy.
Yeah. I didn't even think
but
of
let
that.
Let me tell you, I mean, I obviously had a very different situation, but in my second marriage, I was blindsided by stuff I found out.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm not the only wife that's been blindsided, but if you're a single mother, you got to pick it up and you got to move on the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously it is not the same fact situation, but there are plenty of women who are finding out a lot of bad stuff, and there are plenty of men who are too.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you have a kid, what do? You sit there and fold up the tent? Uh-uh. And I think I gave her that line because that was what I thought to myself. I was like, Lisa, you cannot fold up the tent. You are the mom. Act like it.
Right.
And, you know, so look, it's you try and make it real life all the time. And you hope that people, it moves people because it does feel real and not fake.
Definitely, I think that. But I have to say, going back to the line you said, like cringing and then laughing, I didn't even think of what happened with Kyle's father. I just thought back to the line immediately because I finished the book last night and I'm reading it and it's like every now and then I start like laughing and my husband's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm reading, it's a funny line. And the one line that stands out is a line that Julian says, and it's how when he was on the boat with his dad and his dad's like girlfriend of the day and he's like, oh yeah, well like I did get to try weed, but I also had beer, but I don't want to drink beer because it makes me fart. And I was just, I started laughing and I'm like, but so many other people, like that's a relatable and hysterical and slightly cringeworthy line. And my husband's like, that is funny. He's like, that happens
to me. You know, that really,
me,
oh my God, you just made my day. Listen, I've had interviews this whole day and no one said that. And honestly, I didn't know whether to leave it in or not, but I was like, you know what? That's, I think it.
Yeah.
I will never have
hysterical.
Beer at a business.
I was and just that's, like, oh
and
my
I,
God.
He, good. I appreciate that. Well, also, you know, a little bit, look, you know, if you read the humorous memoirs, I mean, I like to laugh. This is fun to talk to you guys. I think smart people like think of a lot of funny things. So even like, I think I gave Larry some funny lines in the book because I'm like, first we need to lighten up.
Yeah.
We want to see why she loves him, you know, and she has such darkness in her soul. Like she needs this really love Monster Guy to really just love her up. So I gave him some, and I thought the reader would need a little comic relief. But thank you for that, because I appreciate you reading all the way to the end too. I know you guys are super busy, so thanks for that.
Anytime. I just, like I said, I couldn't put it down. Like I tried to read it on Analyst, but I downloaded it wrong because I'm not always the best with technology, and I kept doing it. And then one of my coworkers got the physical book of it, and I was like, I'm just gonna take it because I knew that we were gonna be talking with you, and I was like, I got maybe like 12 pages, then I got like 30, and it's not because the book wasn't bad. I just was reading at night, and it was getting like really late, and I just would kind of start to doze off, and I'm like, I need to sit and read this, start reading earlier, and I finished it last night. I read like 300 pages because I was like, oh my God.
And you got to my big chase scene. Oh, that was so hard to write. I was like,
I was just like, oh my gosh, what's happening? Like, oh, and it switches, and because I like how you had the different perspectives of all of them, and it's not just like one side. You get the different sides of.
Oh, you're so nice to say that. Well, you know, it's like, it depends, whatever the novel is, whatever the subject is. Like, when I sit and I got this idea, and I, as we say, I got this idea about the Russian roulette and different points of view, and I said, well, you can't. The whole question here is, what is the truth? And what is the truth over time? Because, you know, you forget stuff. Mm-hmm. And also, you forget stuff when there's an emotional event. I mean, I've had that experience in my life. And so I was like, well, then you have to tell it in different points of view. And then when I got to the chase scene, you know, this is when you wish we had an outline. Like, I'm like, wow, okay, you better figure this out. You put everybody in the woods and hope the hell this resolves. Mm. And happily, you know, there is a God, and he looks after authors who don't outline. That's what I decided.
Did you know the ending before you went in, or as you?
No,
write?
I didn't. No. I never know the ending.
Oh, wow.
The ending was a big surprise. And that's happened to me before, although I must say this was the biggest surprise. And I was like, you know, I could totally believe that would happen. I talked to a shrink about it. I said, you know, and she said yes. And I've had 10 years of therapy, so that's why I'm so mentally healthy, as you can tell. You're probably going, oh, my God, she's so mentally healthy.
Yeah.
But, you know, you sort of, because it's a psychological thriller, too.
Yes,
and you also
absolutely.
Want to explore the other people. You know, like, what's up with these other kids, and how do they react? You know, are they in denial? Are they self-medicating? Are they sociopathic? You know, like you say about Sasha. I mean, look, I had a Sasha in my school, and what is a mean girl like? You know, they're not just mean. They're not born mean. How do they get mean?
Yeah.
And what's it like to be the pretty one? I have no clue.
Me neither.
But none of us do. None of us that are any fun do.
But
you know, it's interesting vis-a-vis like this scandal now with the you know, the cheating scandal, and you see with the the getting into the, and these beautiful as girls on Instagram, and you're like, you know, you're kind of Sasha. Like I was like a little bit that girl, who is entitled and privileged, but also spoiled and cheating and. How much did she know? And you go, your parents aren't doing you any favors. And I felt like I felt bad for them at the same time I was angry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that's where I was really trying to get to in this book. You know?
I just like you fleshed them out so well, because it's not just like two or three characters in this story. You have the four teens, you have Kyle, you have some of their parents, and you really get to see like this world they're living in that neighborhood. And I'm just like, the description you have of the houses, I was just like, oh my God, I can envision this community. Like, I get.
Oh, you're so
like,
nice
oh,
to
wow.
say that.
I was like, I want
I know, cause
all of it.
I know. I want the upgrade.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you saying that because, you know, you really have to. I mean, I research everything, obviously. So, but it's hard to rationalize, especially because I have I want to write 2,000 words a day. So when I remember researching this book and just going and sitting in a couple of developments near me, because that sort of happened around me. Like I'm in a farmhouse and there's a lot of developments and there's no town anymore and no one goes into the town. And I just sat in a couple of them and just go, you know, like walk around a little. Who notices who you are? Who notices that you're a stranger? What's the clubhouse like? And of course, there's so much detail, you can't put it all in.
Yeah.
But you hope that you get the, I want to say flavor. You know, you can set that so that, because it's a thing. It is a real thing. And I wanted to use the setting to inform these characters.
It definitely worked.
Yeah. And no, I just want to let you know, I have a homebound patron that I gave her every 15 minutes on CD to listen to. And she called me. She called me today to say how much she loved it. So I'm going to go back to her and bring her another one.
Yeah.
I'm gonna bring her one perfect lie. And
you are very popular in our library, just to say. Like, you are a best-selling author, but like not staff and patrons alike like love taking out your titles, and usually several of them end up on our staff picks.
I really appreciate that. And let me just take a minute to tell you why I love you so much. It's not because, you know, it's not because I'm an author. It's because I got to tell you, I mean, I've said this before, but you got to hear it, that, you know, my family was really tight and they really were very loving people, but they didn't read very much. And there was one book in our house. And then when I say that in a speech, people always say it's the Bible. And I go, no, it's not the Bible. It was actually TV Guide. Like, they just watched television all the time. And it really wasn't until one day that it was a school librarian who said, you know, you should take her to the library. And that's when my whole world opened up. I mean, honestly, I can't even talk about it getting choked up. It changed everything. It changed my life. And I never would have, librarians have given me so much. And I always think now that's why, you know, I do a lot of speaking engagements. I will never take money from a library. And I always say yes, because if I can.
Can you come here? We would love
yes,
to have
you. Yes, I can.
You.
I will. Yay. Believe me, if I can, I will. And I'm always there in not as myself, honestly, but in a representative capacity, because I know that, you know, even in wonderful communities, you don't know what goes on behind closed doors, and you don't know how kids are either nurtured or not by their parents. And there's people walking through your threshold now that, you know, you're the salvation for. Like, I was that kid. Mm-hmm. So it's really, really true. And I want you to know that, you know, what you're doing for people like me and for your community, it's really a gift. And it's a gift to all of us. So I hope you know that. And here, look at you, like, you know, bringing things to homebound people. I mean, it's lovely and it's amazing. And I want you to know that it's never in vain, and it's always appreciated. I appreciate you, and everyone does. Thank you.
I'm, like, partially glad you're not here in person, because I feel my face getting really red right now. And I'm
I'm already teary, and you're going to go, wow, that she might be crazy. We thought she would be nice,
so
but
when
she's
you,
not. But really.
When your daughter was young, did you take her to the library all the time?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, my God. And just sit in the corner, and they always have, like, a beanbag thing, and just read the books, and look, she's an author now. I mean,
right. I want to hear about her book. Tell us about her
book. Oh, my God. She's the best. She's so fun. She's got a book deal now. She went to Harvard. She was a valedictorian. All because of books. All of it. And we were broke for so long. You have no idea. And it was all salvation at the library. That's why I love you guys so much. And I really want you to know it. I mean,
thank you. So when's her book coming out? We look forward to that.
I hope next spring. It's called Ghosts of Harvard. And it's all about you know, when she was at Harvard, sadly, there was someone there who committed suicide, and she got to know his sister who came. And it was really about, you know, it's a psychological portrait of a family.
Very nice.
But she's, you know, I know. Well, you guys are just
so maybe
just
the two
amazing,
of you can come when her book comes out. We'll take both
you know,
of
we've
you.
Done
well,
it.
I'm going
to
be like, if you're going
to
come,
quad
you have
library.
To bring all the animals.
You have been out this way.
Oh my God! We've done Quag Library, three summers in a row. The two of us together.
Oh wow!
And 1 year we did bring the dog. Let me see.
You no, because I was looking at your website earlier because I was like, oh, I'll think of some questions. I'll like read and have fun on the website, and I couldn't stop looking at the page of your animal family. I'm like,
yay!
No, because I love. Thanks. I've never had a King Charles Cavalier Spaniel, but I find them adorable. Their little like faces, just like. But
they're,
I was like, she has so many.
They're
like,
such Muppets. I can't stop.
They're so.
And
cute.
There's no one around. I mean, I no one tells me no. I live by myself, so I'm the boss. It's so great. I'm like.
We also love the book club that you put on every year.
Yeah, I just saw that your book club.
I think that's
great.
Well,
think
about it.
We would love to come.
Well, come. All you got to do, look, you probably have a book club that meets at the library.
We do.
All right. So what you do, and listen, you go on the website, you'll see the instructions, but I'm going to give you the fast track. So they have to buy the book. Everybody has to buy the book. That's fair.
Yeah.
Or they can read it in the library, but they have to hold up a copy of the book.
Right.
And send the picture, send it the first week because.
Does the audio
the
book count?
Go really. Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
So does the ebook.
Okay.
Oh.
And just send the picture right away and you get to come. But I'm going to tell you something. you guys just put in that it's you, and I will remember, and you will get to come.
Okay.
Thank we you. Will make we space for you.
Lisa. Yeah, we would love
but
that.
But tons of people come from all over the country, and you're not even that far, and you make a whole day of it. There's tons of cheap hotels all around, and it's the Brandywine Valley. You go see the Wyeths. It's a hoot.
Ooh.
You just love it. It's a lot of librarians come.
It's nice.
A lot
of them. It's very nice that you do that. I think that's wonderful.
Because, like,
well, you know, we started out with a...
Oh,
what'd
no,
you say, baby?
No, you could go. You could go.
Well, I was going to say, we started out doing 100 people, and now there's 600 a day.
Wow.
But it's a farm, and there's plenty of room, and it's really fun. And it's all free.
That's awesome.
Think about it.
That's so many people.
Wow.
Think about it.
That's
I'd
like
love
going
to meet
to,
you.
Like any of the conventions or conferences. I say that as, like, I do go to Comic-Con every year, but not for work, just because I'm a nerd. But I'm just like, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I go to Book Expo.
I haven't been to Comic.
Are you going to Book
been
Expo?
I've been to Book Expo, and I've been to a bunch of library conferences.
Right.
I mean, my God, I've been to tons of library conferences.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
One of these days. But think about it for April.
Yeah.
Because we've read the book.
Because then,
we've read it, we can push
yeah.
it. We have a lot of copies. I know we have them.
Yeah, and then you, it's always the first weekend in October, and you can choose which day you want to come.
Wow. Will there be a nonfiction book this summer with you and your daughter?
No, because she's writing her new book, and I'm actually writing historical fiction next, so we had to take a little break.
From
I know, I'm so excited. Yeah. It's called Eternal, and it's all about, I took a course with Philip Roth when I was at Penn, and it was about literature of the Holocaust. And since then, I've always been interested in it, that there was this Italian fascism, and people don't really know about it. And I read Primo Levi, and I really wanted to kind of, if this book is about what is justice when there's no punishment, this book is called Eternal, and I'm writing it now, and it's about, like, what is justice when the laws are unjust? You know, the laws say that you can persecute Jews. Well, that's outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to explore that, and it's a really big epic, and I'm almost finished it, and I'm super excited about it. So that's up next.
That's
I know.
Exciting.
We look forward to
baby
that.
Baby girl's trying big things here.
When is that coming out?
Is that going to be
I think it should
year,
be spring
year?
Of next year,
oh,
I'm hoping
okay.
for.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's all
yeah,
exciting.
It's called Eternal. Look for it.
Oh,
but,
we
you know,
absolutely
for sure you guys,
will.
And
yeah.
you can get advanced copies of anything you need. You shouldn't have to go scrounging around. You just write us. We'll get it to you.
Thank you. We appreciate
it. I'm serious.
That. Yeah, we love our advanced reader copies.
We do.
Yeah, well, I do too. I mean, I love it when I get them. So thanks.
Do you have
for
time
that.
To read other people's
Oh, I read
books?
All the time. Are you kidding me?
Who are some of your favorite
yeah,
authors?
Who do you like?
I don't have a single favorite, but I have a whole bunch of favorites.
Okay.
I mean, I read all the thriller guys. I read, David Baldacci. I like for fun Janet Ivanovich. I like Louise Penny. I like Ellen Hildebrand. I've sort of discovered this up-and-coming Christina Alger.
Oh, I just found her book.
I was going to... I know her because
yeah,
I was...
Yeah, she's really good.
She has a new one coming out.
Yeah. For the summer, I'm going to recommend
it.
Yeah, she wrote...
The Banker's Wife.
She That's what she wrote.
Right,
she
and
another
one. This new one
it's
is not financial.
It's the one I told you yesterday.
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to... Right, so she's great. I mean, there's just... Jodi Picoult.
Right.
It's like two... So many books, too little time. But I read them all. If you have it, I've basically read it.
Oh,
I hate to tell you.
That's great.
No,
well, that's my
awesome.
Life. I'm very lucky. I get to read all the time or write all the time. It's wonderful to me. It's very lovely, quiet
but
life.
But your first
very
career was a lawyer, correct?
Yes, exactly. And then I was a law professor as well. And now I'm writing full time. It's just great.
It's a great
that's
life.
Nice.
Good for you. I think that's wonderful.
Well, I hope I get to meet you guys. Think about coming to the book club party, okay?
Oh, we would love
it. We're already planning out the photo to send you.
Do it. It's only like 2.5 hour drive from where you are.
Okay. Oh, that's not bad.
Not bad.
And the same for you. 2.5 hours this way. We'd love to have you.
Right.
That's
listen,
really
my daughter's in West Village. I'm up there all the time.
Oh, okay.
So we'll sort it.
Okay.
All right. Think about it.
Yeah.
Well, ladies, you're so sweet.
You're awesome to talk to. I could keep
and
this going
are
all
too.
Day.
I probably took you off your script. I don't know if I did. I'm sorry.
No, I didn't come with questions for this one. Sometimes I'll have questions and then I completely ignore them. And I was just like, I'm so excited just to talk about the book because I was like, oh my God.
Well,
I really couldn't put it down. I was just like, because I've never read any either your mystery series, the lawyer legal thriller ones, or even some of your standalones. And I'm like, I need to now go back and go through your book list. Because I'm like, this was so, it's fast-paced, but easy to read. You're a very well-written writer. And I'm just like, I want more. So I
is music to my ears. That's what you try to do. You're trying to tell a really fast-paced story, but it's still, the writing has to be there, the characterization has to be there, and the story has to be there. You can't sacrifice anything. You've got to really bring it.
And I feel very, very lucky. No, I'm excited.
Thank you so much.
I try to read a lot for work, and it doesn't always happen because I'll get distracted by Netflix a lot.
I know.
Like this new show and this, and I was like, no, I need to sit down. I'm gonna read it. I'm gonna do this, and I was really excited to do the galley copy, and I was just like, clearly, I don't know how to use this. Downloaded the wrong format, but then when I saw that we had the book, I was like, yes.
Well, you'll get the hang of it. But if you're ever hurting for, you went in, you know, AR advanced reading, my email is lisa@scottolini.com. You can write me directly, or if you can't get anybody at the house, but certainly the publicist will help you out. But
you guys should
not go begging. I don't want you to go begging or downloading. I will get you one. I will find it and send it to you.
And Lisa, you're at a new publisher now?
Yes, I am. I'm Putnam, and they're terrific.
Okay, good.
I was like, one of the people you wrote in your acknowledgments. I know her name, Erica Melnicek.
Wow, how cool!
Yeah, because
how do you know her?
She's one of the staff members that I like see emails and stuff from Penguin Random House, the giant company that it is. Because we go, they do these open book events for librarians. I was actually there yesterday, and they're great there. They introduce.
Well, that's the cool thing. Even though they're big, you know, they're so personal, and I just love the people I'm working with, and I love my editor. You know, I have a new editor too, and it's just he really encouraged me. I was like, I'm going to write a little bit of a different, darker book, and he's like, go for it. And then I said, I want to write historical fiction. He's like, go for that too.
That's
really a wonderful thing, you know, like to get that freedom in your life. That's a great thing for a writer. You got to write what you want to write, and the freshness will always follow.
Oh, that's good advice. I like that. I don't write, but I know people who do, so I'll pass that along.
I really encourage them. Really encourage them.
We last year teamed up with the group for National Novel Writing Month, and I signed up.
Sure.
I didn't do it. I just like held events, but it's so interesting to see like people get so involved and so excited. And I'm gonna be like, hey, guess what? I spoke to an author. This is what she says.
Tell them to follow me, because you know what. On Twitter, I always been their little thing, or something. I always send them advice because I really want to encourage young people but anybody to write. Actually, no matter what your age is, I want you to write.
Yeah.
And I give those people a lot of credit because it's hard to sit down and do it. And I think they have the right idea because it's very behavioral. Like I do 2,000 words a day, and you just do 50. Just do 50 words every day and hit your mark, and you get in the discipline of thinking about it. You give it the credit that deserves, and you try not to be so insecure. So I always do that am writing hashtag to let them know.
Oh, nice.
Which was your first?
Yeah, sure. Follow me.
What was your first book, Lisa?
It was called Everywhere That Mary Went.
Was that named after your mother?
No, but it was funny. There's a lot of, you know, well, this book has religion in it, too. I sort of like to explore different faiths and how they affect the characters.
Uh-huh.
And, that was so long ago now, I can't even imagine.
What year was that? When did you write your first book?
I think it was like 96 or 94. I quit being a lawyer when my daughter was born, which was in 86.
Uh-huh.
I'm a lucky lady, though. But it's really, and honestly, thanks so much to librarians, because not only did you give my start with reading, but really, I mean, there's so many people who say to me, oh, my God, I never heard of you, but the librarian recommended you, and I really am happy. And that just is really a lovely thing to do, and I appreciate it. It's very hard to get the word out about your books, and you guys have really done it for me in spades, so thank you.
Anytime.
Oh, aren't you cute?
It's like I'm ready.
I got to
like...
hug you. You got to come over, because I want to hug you.
I was like, if I do that, I'm going to like play with the dogs and your cats and your horses.
Good. You know, at the book club party, we left all the dogs out, and they love
nice.
It.
I was like, this is I need more reasoning for me to get a dog in my life. I used to have one when I was growing up, and now where I live doesn't allow it. But hopefully I'm moving soon, and then I'll be like, all the animals.
Yeah.
Do you still ride
your
horse?
That's how I am. I said, one day I'm going to move to a farm, have all the animals I want. There I am.
And do you ride all the time?
Do I ride all the time?
Ride.
I ride every day.
No, do you ride the horses?
Not all the time.
Oh, okay.
I try to do it twice a week.
Oh, that's great. Cool. Yeah.
Is that
great? I just like
the development name, all the horse names, because you like horses in the book?
Yes, totally. You figured that out, you little geniuses.
Because I was like, oh, this is cool. Because when I was reading it, I didn't know you had any. And I was like, oh, she's got horses. Oh, okay. So she like really knows
Aren't
these
you
breeds.
Smart? You figured me out. You geniuses. I don't know if anyone made that connection, but I was like, because you sit there, because a lot of the developments, they do name, you know, they usually name it after like places in England or something. And I was like, oh, name it after horses because they try to be horsey. Oh, you figure you. I should have known. Leave it to librarians. You're on to me, ladies.
We sometimes. Like that twist at the end, I did not see coming. And I was like, oh, mind blowing.
I know. But surprised me, too.
Well, we're definitely looking forward to. We're looking forward to Eternal, your historical fiction.
Thank
you
so
much for
really
that. I hope to see you soon.
Yeah. And hopefully this one will be
ladies.
Another bestseller also.
Yeah, thank you so much for talking with us.
So we're talking to Lisa
Scottolini. Thank you very much. You stay well.
And Someone Knows comes out Tuesday.
April 9th.
Right. Okay, so, thank you.
Thank you. And we're
take care of, and all of your listeners, take care of your librarians. They deserve your love.
Thanks, Lisa.
All right. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.